for keeping us. We thank you for being with us. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have in your presence. Lord, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, we ask that you take over this place. Do more than what anybody can do. Reveal yourself to us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So how was the conference last week now? Where's Aisha? Is Aisha? Are you around? Okay. How are you feeling now? All right. Why are you laughing? Was there anything the matter? All right. So today I want us to, almost more than half of us were not around last week. So we started a teaching, the purpose of doctrine, right? Started that teaching, and I want us to continue the teaching. But because I know a lot of us were not around, I'm not going to start from the beginning, but I'll just teach it in a different way. So even if you are around, you are not around, you know, it will still be the essence of what God will have us do and talk about, you know. And I think before I start, you know, I want you to, Joy, how are you? Are you good? All right. Before we start, you know, I want you I'm thinking of how I'll say it, you know, because as I just mentioned your name, you know, let me focus. You know, so but God's blessings are coming your way. I don't know what that means, but His blessings are coming your way, you know. So I want to say one thing, two things. So the first is that, you know, you see, God meets us in our local context. I know we say that a lot. Those of you that attend service and, you know, you come to church regularly, you hear us, you always hear us say that thing here. Papi says it, everybody always says it, you know. God essentially meets us in our local context. Hallelujah. You see, God is not like how we imagine him to be most of the time. You're back. God is not like how we imagine him to be most of the time. That's also why we teach the Bible, so that we can know who God is. Are we together? And in knowing who God is, we can relate with him. Praise God. So, God meets us in our local context. For example, you know, there is such a thing as a Yoruba Christian. God recognizes the tribe called Yoruba, or Igbo, or Edo, or whatever tribe one belongs to. You know, there's a way God has wired the Ijo man, you know. And when God presents himself to an Ijo man, he doesn't mind presenting himself. In fact, he prefers to present himself in the context that the Ijo man will fully understand. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you think of, and the reason why I'm saying this is so that you can learn how to enjoy. Is it hot? It's hot, Abby. Sorry, I think it's because the ACs are, the ACs are all down, so I think it's really just the heat. Or can we turn on the ACs at the back? I don't know, maybe that will help. So, what was I saying? Yeah, so there's a way God meets us in our local context. Sorry, is this your first time here? So, what's the name? Angela. All right. So, in you know, and I'm saying this so that you can learn how to experience the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Notice it's too early. You can't be sleeping. I've never started teaching, Seth. You can't be. You can't. I refuse it. You want to stand up? You can stand up. So, there is a way that you have to relate with God so that you can enjoy Him. Hallelujah. All together. The Holy Spirit is real, and the Holy Spirit also operates in your local context. You just have to know how to flow with the Holy Spirit. So this is never my teaching. So if I'm just saying it to just help us that you can as you guys are here like this now, you can experience the fullness of God's love. Even though, you know, maybe without this microphone and keyboard. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't rely on the physical look and feel of things before He moves. Are we together? In fact, worship, what we call worship, is not external, it's in-depth. It's about what is going on the inside of us individually, you know. And when individually we can connect with God, then we have the reality. Or when we can connect with God well, then everything we are saying in Christianity begins to make sense. Hallelujah. Because the thing about Christianity is that if you are not operating with the Holy Spirit, it will make sense. Not that it will make sense intellectually, but experientially. Meaning, you would always be looking for something to stimulate you because you are not connecting. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know. So, connecting with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to change your accent for God to speak to you. Do you get my point? Yeah. You don't need to change your accent. You don't need to, you know, it's about your heart, you know. So whenever you have the opportunity to be in the presence of God, make it your duty. I know some of us are not there yet. You know, you are still growing, you know, but make it your duty to be present, you know. Hallelujah. Also, tend to not associate the presence of God with people. Don't associate the presence of God with people. So for instance, don't say, hey, we are doing church, until the main person starts preaching. That's when I'll be serious. Do you understand that thing? Because it's not true. You get, I know I'm the pastor of this thing's church, but I can tell you that there's nothing spectacular about me. Okay? Are we together? There's nothing spectacular about me. I'm not as... Some of you are more intelligent than me. You get... Are we good? Yeah. Some of you are more intelligent than me. Some of you are smarter than me. You might not believe it. Do you believe it? I know you won't believe it, but trust me. Some of you are smarter than me. Some of you are... Even more better behaved than me, you know. For real, it's not, you get. When I was your age, some of you are more sound in your mind, you know. Hallelujah. All right. So, but don't disrespect me, oh. Even though I'm saying some of you are smarter than me, don't go and disrespect me. So, I was talking about the purpose of doctrine. Can we say that together? The purpose of doctrine. Can we say it well? Yeah, the purpose of doctrine, you know. The reason why I want us to teach this thing, you know, one of the things I've recently come to terms with is that I think Papi mentioned this recently too. I don't like Christian movies. Can you wake up, please? That I don't like Christian movies. Okay. I'm not saying you should not watch Christian movies. I'm just saying that me, I don't watch any Christian movie. I don't have any Christian movie that I watch. And the reason is not like they're not good Christian movies. It's just that personally, I don't associate with lots of the characters that I see. Are we together? I don't associate with lots of the characters. The characters don't speak to me. The characters are too clean. I don't like it when people are too clean. Are we together? Maybe the pastor in the movie is a very perfect man, doesn't touch anything. You know, this kind of things. I don't like, just a personal thing. I don't like things that are too clean. I don't like people that are too, you know, some people can be too clean. No, for real. Some people, their cleanliness has reached another level where it's now a mental issue. You know, they call themselves germophobes. They can't shake. They can't do anything because they feel everybody is carrying germs. So they don't. Some people, they even wear gloves to be walking about. It has turned to a mental issue. But anyway, personally, because you know, coming back to who I identify with, me, I look at myself, for instance, and I know that God has, you know, even in my short Christian walk with God, God has manifested himself through me. You know, and some of you are testaments to how God has helped you one way or the other through me. And me, like for real, I'm a very imperfect person. I'm a very raw person. When I say raw, I mean raw in my own personality. Are we together? And I say that God has still worked in me. You know, I think raw things. You get my point, right? I think raw things. You know, the girls in my office I run away from because they are too fine and they are flirting with me. You know, so I run away from them. I just, you know. In fact, there's one currently. The girl wants to be my friend. I ignore it. I give her a strong face. Like, she'll greet me. I'll look at her like this. I just walk. You know. But the girl is fine and she's flirting with me. And she's, you know. Just sad. She used to join Hallelujah Challenge. You know. Some of you will understand that code. You know. But there's a kind of girl that joins Hallelujah Challenge that you should run away from. The girl that's looking for husband. That's what I mean. So, I mean, you get my point. And you know, and the girl is, the lady is fine, like very fine. Very, very fine. And you know, in the office is not like church. Office, you have license to wear short skirts, you know. And the girl is fine though. I can't lie to you. So me, I have to run away because, you know, I want to keep myself, you know. And that's what I mean by rawness, you know, what it means to be a man, for example, walking through life, you know. A man that is not gay, you know, that is walking through life, you know, you're attracted to women, you know, because women are fine. Abina, are women ugly? No, women are fine. Girls are fine, you know. So, as a man, for instance, I'm existing in a context of having to discipline myself, having to, you know, having to navigate people. You know, that's raw. That's the realness of him. And that's the person that God is using. Do you get my point? I'm not always in the mountain. That's what I'm trying to say. You get, I'm on earth. I don't go to mountain. I'm on Ojudu, on the streets of Ojudu. You get my point? I'm not on the mountain. Are we together? So that's why I don't like watching Christian, because I don't like plastic and cosmetic depictions of life. I like the way you present life as if, you know, the thing that maybe Satan will be doing many things in the family, then the pastor will not come from, you know, this kind of. And I don't doubt it because, you know, there's something about storytelling, which is, you know, when you're storytelling, it's one of the ways to tell stories. You know, it always have a happy ending, that kind of thing, you know. For example, in my mind, life, I don't believe that life must always have an happy ending, you know. life must not end happy. You understand? I like the movie that the actor dies. You get, right? The actor can die, the actor's child can die, you know. So, part of why I'm teaching what I'm teaching, are you with me? So part of why I'm teaching what I'm teaching is that I want you to have a certain level of realness, you know. And in fact, even when we see how God uses people, Angela, are you following what I'm saying? When we see how God uses people, God doesn't use cosmetic, plastic people. You know, God uses people that have all sorts of imagery. You know, some look like, God uses people that don't look born again. As some people that if you were to meet them in a different context, you would think that they are not born again. I don't know if the screen is showing. There's a pastor in Japan that I found out recently. He used to be a former Yakuza boss. How many of you know what the Yakuza is? Okay, the guys will know because they watch movies and stuff. Yakuza is like mafia, you know, Japanese mafia. Or in Nigeria, Black Axe Cult, you know, that's the... So he used to be a former Yakuza guy. You know, very... Well, they're not so violent. I mean, they're very orderly, but they can do violence. You know, they're mafia guys. So he used to be a former guy, then he got saved. And the thing about the Yakuza is that they tell the story of every gang member with tattoos. You know, so they have very elaborate tattoos on their bodies because that's how they tell the story. So if you want to know maybe if a gang member has... lots of gangs too, like, and even these guys in America, Crips and Blood, they used to, all those tears, it's just rappers started doing it to be fake, but typically those tears signify people that they've killed. And if you meet a real killer, the tears are like, okay, I've killed 5 people, that kind of thing. So that's how gangs are. At times they tell their stories via their tattoos, you know. So this guy, this pastor, he got born again. Are you feeling what I'm saying? So he got born again and, you know, as he got born again as a person, he started preaching the gospel and everything. And he, part of how he preaches is that he preaches with his shirt open because he wants to show his tattoos. Because he pastors the people that, you know, so his name is, I don't know, is the thing, okay, Tatsuya. Let me spell it, because no Japanese. T-A-T, then Suya. So, Tatsuya. Then Shindo, S-H-I-N-D-O. So, if you see a picture of him, he's a pastor, you can't miss it. If you see a picture of him with tattoos, just show it on the screen. So he preaches to... Former, you know, as far like a former thug now, he can relate with those people. You know me, for instance, I'm an Ajebo person. I don't know how to relate with street people. I really don't, you know. So him is like he's a street guy, so he knows how to relate to street people. So he preaches to street people, you know. And he preaches with his shirt open because that's, you know, and I told you now, that's how they write their stories. So those tattoos tell a story that, look, I'm like you, this is, you know. So he preaches to them with his shirt open. That's how he preaches. So during service like this, you'll be on singlets. You know, can you imagine seeing a pastor? You go to a church. Yeah, that's him. Look for a picture which is maybe him holding the Bible or something. With his shirt open, with his, maybe he's on singlet or something. So you can imagine coming to a church now, even like they say, imagine coming to a church now and say, this guy is the pastor preaching. You know. And please, I'm not talking about those of you that are online. You know, there's one argument. That's, these two things are not, I'm teaching my own. Don't think I'm talking about, you know, about that debate. Can you see another one with his shirt open? Or singlet or something. Yeah. So this is how he preaches, he gets during service. I just imagine the image, you know, a gangster will come and start, you know, during service, he opens shirt, bring out Bible, and starts teaching people the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, it's okay. So this can happen because he has, you know, he is not the man we just saw is not. A lot of Christians, unfortunately, a lot of Christians, our faith is very plastic, like the movies that we watch. You know, it's just one kind of, it's not real. Hallelujah. It's just in words. You know, it's just in the look and feel. You look holy. Are we together? Huh? You know, that's the power of religion. You know, that's the power of religion. I remember doing NYSC. You know, went for NYSC. You know, and there was one lady, like the ladies wear full hijab. Now, you know, when you see a lady in hijab, your thinking is that this lady is a very pious lady. I mean, it's like maybe a Catholic nun. You know, that is the similar kind of look. You know, very pious lady, very warm, soft-spoken lady. You know, but this girl, in that whole place for herself, I don't think anybody has sex more than that hijab lady. She just met a guy, you know, in the place, the way they used to sleep around there, like almost every night, like they'll just be, you know. And many of us, Christianity is not as drastic as that, but it's in the same mold, you know. Many Christians, you just want to look holy. You know, you just want to talk in a particular way. You know, you just want to. It's almost like people feel like, you know, if I can sound like a Christian, God is happy with me. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You know. But you see, that thing exists because there isn't a real relationship with God, you know. And that thing can exist even though you are being taught the word of God all the time. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Even though you come to church all the time and you're being taught God's word all the time, that thing can still exist. In fact, too much teaching can even make you more arrogance, where you feel like you know everything already, so nobody can tell you what's any new thing about God. Hallelujah. Are we together? For example, let me give an example. You know, who has heard of the term peer pressure? It's a very popular term now. Who has heard of the term peer pressure? Peer pressure. What does it mean? Sorry for the heat, though. I know it's very hot. Sorry for the heat. Who has heard the term peer pressure? Someone should define what's the meaning of peer pressure. All right, let's give Christabel the mic.
It's a situation where your age mates or people that are you and them are the same age range are doing things, and because they are doing things, you want to do that, or they push you to do that kind of thing.
Okay. Any other person want to say it in your own way? What is here? Yeah, correct. Correct. Any other person you want to say it in your own way? Have people raise their hand now? What are the people that raise their hand? Nobody wants to talk again. You want to talk? I need at least like one more person now. What do you understand as peer pressure, Samuel?
Yeah, peer pressure is like on the same.
Yeah. Thank you. That's correct. So thank you. One last person. Oh, I should move on. Should I move on? all right. But we get the sense, Abby. As the name implies, your peers putting you under pressure. Okay. Now, let me, you know, typically as a Christian, you know, It makes sense that you pray against peer pressure, Abby. Abby, now, am I correct? Talk to me now, yes or no, am I correct? That you should pray against peer pressure. So you should pray that people will not pressure you to do something you don't want to do. Abby, now? Okay. So let's now, please, I guess, follow it. Am I saying the correct thing? Please respond to me. Am I saying the correct thing? Angela, am I correct? Yeah. So many, how many of you have that desire that nobody will put you under pressure? How many of you walk through life, God, please, let people not take away the salvation I have. You know, let me mind myself, you know. All right, cool. Now, let's ask some questions. And I want you to follow me logically, okay? Let your mind be here. All right, now, if two of you come out, face them. Now, if you want to go this way, and you want to go this way, are we looking at? Now, if you want to go this way, do as if you want to go this way. It's fine. And then you now come and drag her and take her like this. Just drag her. Now, if this kind of thing is happening, who would we say has... Give me one reason why she might follow him. She's afraid. All right? Any other reason? Why would she stop where she's going to and follow him? Because she's a classmate. Fantastic answer. Because they dragged her. She's no object. So aside the physical, emotionally, mentally, why do you think she would want to follow? Because she wants to. There'll be certain things she wants to receive there. Very good answer. Any other? Yes, now. Nah. Yes, it's peer pressure, yeah. So he said because of fear, because she's a friend. Okay, yeah. Because there's something there she wants to take. Because she's a classmate. What else did we say? At the same age range. All right. So this is an example of peer pressure, Abino. Meaning she wants to go like this. But let's say because there is something there, maybe they've told her that the jollof rice is there, right? Or something, right? Or they've told her that, this is where all the cool kids, this is what all the cool kids are doing. If you want to be a big boy, a big girl, you know, you have to follow me and go this way. All right. So in other words, the reason why she is not going to go to where she wants to go to, but she's going to change her direction, is because there's a belief that what she has or where she is going to is better than where she is going to. Abino? Yeah. Mentally, there's a belief that where she is going to is better than where she is going to. You can have your seat. Now, this is the mental, this was happening behind the scenes whenever somebody is under pressure to be what they are not. Now, the question is, why is a Christian coming to church, praying in tongues, reading their Bible, saying that God is in me, but then they are still not sure about where they are going to? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why is it that a Christian, if truly a Christian believes what they are saying, should be as Christians, God is in us now. Is God in us? Yeah. If the God of the universe is in me, why am I getting directions from somebody that the God of the universe is not in? It's because the Christianity is just a mouth. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? If truly that belief system was working, instead of peer pressure, it should be Christian pressure, meaning Instead of people putting you under pressure to change your lifestyle, you should be the one pressuring people to change their own lifestyle. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, and that's why I don't talk about it because I'm not interested in such topics. I don't think I've ever talked to anything like peer pressure. Have I talked to that? Because I'm a real Christian. You know, I want to smoke, you go and smoke it. You know what? Everybody knows what they want to do. Don't use me to get my point. You want to have a boyfriend? There's no preaching and preaching here. You still going to carry a boyfriend. You understand? All right. Those that are serious and want to meet God. Huh? When they meet that God, his ministry they want to start doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So when we have a real encounter with God, instead of us worrying about people changing us, the ambition will be to change people. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not enough to just come to church and sing. You can sing songs, you can jump up and down, you know. You can be happy, you can do all sorts of things. But you are not having a real Christian experience. I think it's getting better now. I don't know what happened. We are not having a real Christian experience. Can you wake Bernard up, Abby? Is it Bernard? You're laughing. Wake up. All right. Hallelujah. Let me see how much time I have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So quickly, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, you see, it takes... Are we together? Yeah, please stay with me. Now, you see, it takes, it takes a while. You need to be a solid Christian. Can you tell your neighbor you need to be a solid Christian? Tell your neighbor again, you need to be a Christian that has roots. Yeah. And the reason why you need to be a Christian that has roots is that, one of the major reasons why you need to be a Christian with roots is that the salvation of the world is in the hands of believers. Let me explain what I mean. I mean people getting born again, but that's what I mean at a level. What I mean at another level is that the change of the atmosphere that people want. The reason is that the salvation of the earth, the Bible talks about how the creature is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The creature, meaning mankind, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What that means is that there are so many things going wrong that until a life is displayed, there wouldn't be an alternative. Hallelujah. For example, if you are young today, you know, young people today, all of you are young today. When you think about living a successful life, who do you look up to? Well, some of you are born again, so you give me born again answer. But the real answer is people like chief priests, Abino, or politicians. Are we together? That's who people want to be like. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are we together? Please listen to me. I'm making a point. You know, people don't want even. You can even be a pastor and want to be like chief priest. Meaning you can be a pastor and want to have live social media influencer lifestyle. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, why is that so? It is so because genuinely you have not seen, or some of you have seen, but you are doing like you have not seen. But genuinely, a lot of people have not seen the God version of a worldly person. Hallelujah. Some people have not seen it. A lot of people have not seen it. Are we together? People have not seen people that don't look like their money. The people look like their money, but people have not seen people that don't look like their money. People have not seen people that can be a billionaire, but you won't even know. Now, most people have not seen those kind of world before. The only world they've seen is the one that is obviously wealthy. Now, what is going to happen is that this is why such an image is dangerous. Such an image is dangerous because as a young person, when you want to copy, you will put yourself under pressure. And then you will hurt your conscience and the conscience of the people around you. Hallelujah. Do you agree? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Let me explain it a bit like this. You know, I think I've told you before about how, you know, the first generation of, you know, I mean, there've always been runs girls in every society, always runs girls. But the first generation of, you know, popular runs girls was my generation. That's when we were in university. You know, now we're like in the third generation of Yahoo boys. You know, the OG Yahoo boys was 419. And that's what used to be 419. Then you had my generation that became Yahoo boys, you know. And then now you have the new generation that is Happy Forex, all those guys, you know. Those of you that know all those guys, that's the new generation of Yahoo boys. Now, they are more sophisticated. They look like businessmen. All this B-Lord. In every generation, they're getting wiser in the thing, you know. So, the first generation of Ron's girls was also my generation. It was when we were in university that it became a mass thing. Now, why did it happen? It didn't happen because girls were poor. It happened because people wanted, a lot of people became Ron's girls because they wanted Blackberries back then. Many of you don't even know what Blackberry is, you know. It was the major phone before iPhone, you know. A lot of girls went to university, Unilag, and all the big girls had Blackberries. All the big people had Blackberries. Back then, if you didn't have Blackberry, you know, what's your BB pin? What's your, you know? And then, you know, as a girl, you want to be among, but you don't have money. And maybe the thing is, maybe bold, 50K or something. I mean, back then, Naira still had more value. So that 50K is not 50K as at now, 50K, you know. So you don't have 50K. Where we get 50K from? And your friend will just come and tell you, just one weekend now, 50K. Just go to the party, they'll jump up and down, do one or two things, 50K. And they'll be like, just one Friday night. I'll follow you girls to nightclub, 50K. Like that, many people just, they didn't swear for people, you know. Now, this is where I'm going to. This is so you can understand the wickedness of man. Who was sponsoring the buses to come and pick girls in on campus? Rich men, politicians, right? Now, people will spend money, but if they see their own daughter entering the bus, I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe on Friday night, the guy comes down, and the bus that he paid for bus to carry girls to come and meet him in the hotel. If as he's now walking, he now sees his own daughter entering the bus. He says, are you stupid? Come on out from that place. Come on from that place. You have bad manners. Abi now? Yeah. So he will try and preserve his own daughter, but he will corrupt the children of other people. That's what you use money to do. Do you get my point? You will corrupt everybody around you because it's all about you. It's all about yourself. In fact, that's even why your society is the way it is. You know, I mean, you can imagine, when I was young, we never used to hear of things like APC is giving you 10,000 naira to vote for them. It's a new thing. It's one election that started. It was one election in Ekiti State. It's Ayo Fayose. He paid everybody money. That's when the thing started. Before, we never used to pay. No, now you can build APC. Next, those of you that have PVC, you know, your next election. If you want to, you know, on that voting booth, there will always be APC. You know, now you can build them. Huh? Now, what is that costing? It's not just, is it when you pay or when you vote for somebody and they paid for you, that you can't, that person will be a terrible leader to you. Because you've already paid him, he has already paid you for his votes. There's nothing, he doesn't belong to you. He's not your leader, he's not anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, similar to the earlier example, too, that one is another example that you will carry money. Your own children, you will send your children to a school somewhere. You will send your children to this. You do that for your children. All your children will be nepo babies. You will not carry money, eh? And tell another person's children to go and fight for you. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when the sons of God begin to manifest, are you okay? Is he okay? Is he sleeping? He's sleeping. Are you fine? Can I sit up now? Are you sure you're okay? Is the teaching boring? Now, when the sons of God begin to manifest, is that you are boldly coming into a space. And you are bringing the righteousness of God into a space. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what it means to be a Christian. You can't be a Christian without boldness. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Is that your manifestation, in fact, is even warfare. You might not interpret it as warfare, but every system around you will interpret it as warfare. So my point is that you can't be a Christian as God will have you be a Christian without a level of deep roots, or a level of solidness, if that's a word. Christianity is not about enjoying church. Following Jesus is not about enjoying church. Hallelujah. It's about being solid in your convictions. Do you understand what I'm saying? Aisha, you follow me? It's about what? It's about what? Being solid in your convictions. Being firm in your convictions. We are people of belief. We believe things. Because of what we believe, we can walk away from sins. Hallelujah. We can say we are not doing again. We can say your money perished with you. Do you get my point? You can be looking for a job and somebody will give you a job and you say, I don't need your job. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be like this? Being solid in convictions. Being the kind of person that if you say something, the thing is going to happen, or that's the way you're going to go. You're the kind of person that will say something, then they'll meet you behind the scene. And then you change your mouth. Hallelujah. But it's so sad. You know, it's very, very sad. These days, you see Christians say, they don't have the boldness to marry Yoruba. They don't have the boldness to marry Igbo. You know, you are scared of what your parents will say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're scared of what people will say. You're scared of what this one will say, what that one will say. In fact, guys are even scared of telling girls no. You know? You'll be allowing yourself to be under pressure. You understand? Can't tell a woman no. Once you just rub your chest like this, everything has... your mind has gone. Well, you just rub your chest. You just forget yourself. You can't look at woman in her face and say no. You get. Hallelujah. No boldness. That's why I don't like shy people. I like shy people. Let me not say that. I like shy people, but I don't like shyness. Are we together? It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Please don't create a theology around your shyness. That is how God made me. God did not make anybody to be shy. You can be quiet and not shy. You understand? Me, I'm a quiet person, but I'm not shy. Are we together? The wrong spirit, it doesn't come from God. It's human trauma. You get it's trauma of childhood. Are we together? No, for real, it's trauma of childhood. Maybe your parents insulted you too much. Or used to beat you too much. You know, that's what beating can do. Beating without sense. That's what it can do, you know. Just slap you for anything. Then you develop the habit of shyness. You know. Are we together? So you have to be bold. You know, at least that's what God wants. God wants. And I pray for the day when we'll have Christian movies of gangster pastors like the one that I showed you. You know, gangster pastor, not pastors that looks like pastor. When I say, I don't mean pastors should dress indecently. That's not, but not a Christianity that is just, huh? Not sin. Just talking nicely. You know, we need to love one another and so that the world can be a better place. We need to love one another so that the world can be a better place. Look at all the wars all around the world, you know. Are we together? You know, there's so much fighting going on in the world. All we need is one love. Let's hold hands together and pray for peace. You know? Either I should be the one fighting war. Let me tell you something here. Most jihadists, I think I said this last 2 weeks or so. I don't know if I said it here. Most jihadists are teenagers. All these Boko Haram, it's not old people that are fighting, though. It's not old people that are fighting. It's young people like you. That's the real ones fighting. It's not old people. They're teenagers. Teenagers, young adults, you know. Almost all of them are below maybe 33, 32. They're all in their 20s and teens. All of them. It starts from our Marjorie. Are we together? It starts from our Marjorie. When you're a child on the streets, what happens to you is that you don't have love. That's what it means. I don't mean, you know, there are different kinds of streets. There's streets that you have house, but you go to streets. And there's street that street is your house. You know, that's real street. When you see a real street person, the person doesn't have love. Again, that's when a 13-year-old can stab somebody. Those are real street people. They're not even... Most of the people that you see are not real street people. Once you see one like that, you'll be like, oh, no. You'll be afraid. So it starts with that in Amajiri. When they are young, they're not going to school, they're just on the streets. It's like you're programming love, because the way you get love is in a family. That's the way you get love as a child. And you now start teaching, you know, Islam, start teaching. Need to kill so that you'll go to heaven. That's what they'll tell them. When you kill people, you'll go to heaven. You know. And then when they come out to kill, the reason why is that once terrorism starts in a society, it's hard to stop it, because the belief of the people, they have more conviction than our military guys. Our military guys have sense. It's stupid to die for Nigeria. No, for real. If you die for Nigeria, who will take care of your family? Do you understand? Have you seen soldier with good pension before? Have you seen soldiers that died that the family are being taken care of? So everybody has sense, like Omo. So there's a way they will fight. It's just like it's the way we play football now. There's a way they won't break leg, you know. There's a way you play football that like I can't break leg for Nigeria. If I break leg for Nigeria and my club does not call me, Nigeria will not pay my money. So let me tap in the ball. Let me just be playing the ball in a very, very peaceful way. Hallelujah. So when those guys come, they have more conviction than us. Because you can't threaten them with death. If you say you want to kill a jihadist, you have not threatened him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have not threatened him. He's willing to die. So those are the people out there. People with conviction. Again, people that believe something. You will meet people in life that have belief. I've met a guy that's you know, crazy belief system. People believe things. You see some guys, they believe that they should sleep with all girls. You know, when it comes to jazz, you know, people do jazz for various things. Some people do jazz for money. Some people do jazz for girls. When I saw that, the first time I saw that, I was shocked. You know? The guy does, one guy like that, that used to be my lesson, when I used to do jam lesson. He would do jazz for girls, so that any girl that picks, he would just carry the girl. He did do jazz for Yahoo, he did jazz for girls, you know. That any girl that picks would just go and sleep. And the guy is poor, but that's the one he wants. He just wants to defile girls. Hallelujah. You can meet a lecturer that wants to sleep with you. It's not something that happens to unbelievers. Hallelujah. Are we together? Your teacher can want to sleep with you. Your uncle can want to sleep with you. The people that they slept with, they're not evil people. In fact, some people, their boldness is so heavy that it's Christian girls. Do you get my point? All your good dressing, that's what is gingering them. You understand? You'll meet people. So you need to be somebody that has conviction. You need to be solid. You need to have a firm standing. Even life itself will come to you. You know? House rent now in this Ojedu is how much? I don't know if anybody knows how much your parents are paying house rent. Eh? 1 point something. Maybe what kind of house? One bedroom. One bedroom above 1 million. 2 point something. Okay. That's 2 point something. It won't be like that when you people are getting married though. I hope you know. When people are getting married, the price, you know, the price always keeps going higher. Higher, higher. When people are getting married, you never know. Maybe one bedroom can be 5 million. You're saying, hey. So I say, man, what are you going to do when you say you will not marry? You marry now. I mean, you don't marry. What? No, you must not tell your father. You must not tell your father. You must marry. So you must marry. You must take care of your wife. Are we together? You must buy hair for her if she wants. Hallelujah. And you must not do anything illegal. To live that kind of life, don't you need to be bold? You need to be bold. You need to look at a girl and say, I will take care of you. You understand? Hallelujah. So even life itself will show you who are you. I will ask you. Satan will ask you. The earth will ask you. Men will ask you. Women will ask you. Who are you? That kind of thing that when they come to you and they say, we need money for food, you start being angry. You start being angry. Why do you need to be angry? Why are you angry? You know. I'm talking to the guys. Don't follow your father. Don't join your dad. That used to be angry. It's lack of money. There's nothing. There's no need for anger. You understand? If you have money and they come to you and they say we want to travel on vacation, what will you say? You say, if I take the extra card, you know. You understand? So control yourself. You'll be in situations where there is an urgent need next tomorrow, and today you don't have the money. You get my point? Maybe school fees. Maybe your school fees is due on Friday. This coming Friday, and as of today, you have not paid anything. You don't even have any hope of money. You know, but that's life. Are we together? And you need to respond. Now, are you going to, when you have just packed Christianese language, that's when you start hustling, start calling pastor, you start, hey, God has, you know, God has abandoned me, oh. You people, hallelujah. So, in 1 Peter verse, or 2 Peter, where we opened, verse, chapter 1. All right, so be done. I just wanted to establish that as a Christian, Christianity is not what God called us to. Are we together? All I've been saying since, I just wanted to establish one point, that what God called us to is not for timid people. You get my point? Right? It's not for timid people. It's about standing. It's not about playing church. It's about standing. Various challenges, various difficulties, but you stand. And you do it with a kind of, a kind of attitude that is godly. Hallelujah. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read. Let me read it and begin to close. Are you blessed?
Yes,
sir. It says here from verse 1, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, what Peter is saying here is that God, through divine power, can we say divine power?
Divine power.
Yeah, Christianity is divine power. Has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God has given us power for all things. Okay? All things that, just saying that in every situation of life, everything that life can throw your way, every context, wherever, whether you are born into a rich family, whether you are born into a poor family, whether you are born on the street, whether you are born in a palace, whether you have your parents, whether your parents have passed on, in all contexts and in all situations, God has given us power. This is why it is wrong to pity believers. Huh? It is wrong for me to pity you. It is wrong for you to expect pity. Okay? You don't deserve pity because you have the power of God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? So let me tell you now, life is not fair. Are we together? Some people are born into rich families. Some people, it's always be like that. Don't ask God why. God will answer you. Okay? Life is not fair. Are we together? Huh? Life is not fair. Look at us now in Nigeria. What do we punish God? Why are we in this kind of heat? Did we insult God? Did I insult God that caused this heat? You understand? You know, this place is so hot. Are we together? So hot. You can't even walk outside during sun. Like, it's so hot. You understand? Some people are born into a place where, you know, I don't know if you have any family member or something that went to Canada. Those 2 weeks, their skin started changing. They didn't even rub cream. Their skin just started changing. They started becoming finer. It's what God did. Are we together? Just accept it. Don't be hoping for fairness in this life. You get my point? Yeah? Don't think that you will get a wife because you're intelligent. That's not how it works. You understand? Even money itself. There will always be someone that has more money than you, more intelligent than you, more spiritual than you. Are we together? Eh? More wise, everything, they are better than you. But God has given us power. Can we say God has given us power? So if you're not operating from that power, you're operating based on your life will go according to the roll of the dice. Meaning, you will know what you can do, you will know what you cannot do. Do we get? So the things you think you can do, that's what you will do. The one that your mind has told you can't do it, you will not do it. Because your mind has already told you can't do it. So you'll be a Christian here, you'll be coming to church shouting, glory, glory. But if the Holy Spirit should just introduce a thought that you're going to be a billionaire, you'll just shut it down immediately. Because where you are from, they don't have those kinds of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, how we access this power is through the knowledge of him, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus. Huh? Are we together? Are you with me? By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's move on. I want to close it. Let's move on. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, what Peter is beginning to explain here, and this is the meat of everything, so please stay with me. What Peter is beginning to explain here is how you can get to a place of knowledge of God. Meaning, how do people know God? That's what he's trying to explain here. He's explaining it as a methodical, step-by-step process to knowing God. Now, we'll list out some virtues here, but what I just want you to understand is I want you to see the Holy Spirit as working out these things in your life. Are we together? The Holy Spirit wants to work out these things in your life so that when you are going through physical situations, you will recognize what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. Okay? So for a Christian to be solid, the first thing they need to have is faith. Everybody say faith. Now, what I mean by faith is simply salvation. Are we together? Yeah? Salvation. Okay? It's salvation that produces faith. This faith is not just belief. You know, faith is belief. But the way this is used is like the faith that is in you. Or in other words, the spiritual substance that is in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you tired? Are you tired? Are you tired?
No.
Okay. All right, I'll keep on teaching. For people that are saved, there is a deposit of faith. It's just salvation. It's just the thing in you that makes you believe God. The thing in you that makes you a Christian. Your knowledge that you are a Christian. You need to have this faith. And if you don't have this faith, you need to repent from sin and give your life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Are we together? Don't assume this faith is not speaking in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. This faith is not speaking in tongues. This is genuine faith, meaning genuine salvation. When somebody has genuine salvation, it is one of the easiest things to spot. There's just an aura the person will have. The person will want to please Jesus. The person will want to like, the person will not be perfect, but the person would want to please Jesus. So when you don't have this faith, what will be showing is that you don't want to please Jesus. Are we together? You don't want to please Jesus. So people that don't have this faith are the kind of Christians that say, Pastor, is it okay to be a Christian and have a boyfriend? Is it okay to be a Christian and have a girlfriend? Are we together? Those kind of questions are trap questions. Answering it does not answer the situation. The situation is that the person you are talking to does not want to please Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? The person doesn't want to please Jesus. So that's the thing that needs to be addressed. That, okay, you don't want to be pleasing Jesus. Should a Christian watch kissing scene? Should a Christian be going to nightclub? Should a Christian be drinking alcohol? You know, all those kind of questions. It can be presented in an intellectual format. As by somebody who started, dissecting scriptures as to why Christians should either drink or not drink alcohol. But that's not the issue. The issue is that this guy wants to party. You understand? So let him party. Let's not deceive ourselves. Okay, that's what he wants to do. But if you claim to have genuine faith, the next thing you should do is that you should add virtue to it. Everybody say virtue. Please say it to a virtue. Yeah, if you have genuine faith, the thing you want to do is that you need to add virtue to it. What is virtue is morality, high morality. Are we together? It's the barest minimum for a Christian to be moral. Barest. Amen. Even though human morality has issues, though, you see, there's human morality. That one is the fake kind of morality. For example, in this our culture, this is the most corrupt. This is one of the most corrupt places on this earth. This is our country. If you know this is our country, this country is so corrupt. Jesus, are we together? But even in this corrupt country, if you don't greet your elders, people will shout. You don't have manners. Right? So human morality has scale leg like that. It's usually hypocritical. But this virtue is based on the word of God. Everybody say the word of God. Not as per the thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. But there is a standard of living that is clearly expressed in scripture. Are we together? You can't be a lover of Jesus and a lover of your old boys. You get my point? You can love your old boys as per you love human beings. You should. You should love everybody. You get, right? But my point is that you can't be a lover of Jesus and your best friend is a Yahoo boy. You get my point? So you need to add virtue. And I'm saying this thing so that we'll understand how, because you see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to work these things in you, what will happen is that your Christian experience will be richer. Meaning you will enjoy God more. You will pray God will hear you, So you add virtue. Everybody say virtue. A Christian should at least be a good person. At least you should have a reputation that you do good things, you don't lie. Are we together? You don't cheat in exam. Are we together? You'd rather fail than cheat. Are we together? People are not answering. Don't worry. You'd rather fail than cheat. But you know the next thing? Now hold on to this example of you rather fail than cheat. I'll explain something. So a Christian should enter an exam hall and he will see that maybe he's doing WAEC or something. There are five theory questions. And there are only two. you can answer. And the reason why there are only two that you can answer is that you didn't read. Okay? Because don't put failure on God. God is not the reason why you get. But let's just say, the reason why there are only two that you can answer. A Christian should have the confidence to answer the two well. And then just write nonsense on the other three. You understand? Just go and submit. Yeah, just write. Just Holy Spirit, help me, help me. I beg. Let me write something here and just. And then go and submit. You get? That's virtue. Then there is knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Now, this knowledge is knowledge about how to be a Christian. You see, God needs to. You see, there are Christians that have good faith, good virtue, but lack knowledge. Now, when you lack knowledge, you will always be in a situation where you are choosing to fail than cheat. That's not where God wants you to be. Are we together? Where God wants you to be is that you should be passing your exam. But the reason why you are failing is that you lack knowledge. You don't know how to be a student. Do you get my point? Right? So God wants, as a Christian, you have to be always getting knowledge. Don't assume. Amen. Don't assume. You know, you see, some of us now, you're not talking to people older than you. Should I really go to university? You're not talking. You know, you're just going to university because of peer pressure. Everybody in your teen's church set is going to university. You don't want to be left out. Instead, you pray to God, God, let me go to university. They will not go and give you chemical engineering. And your brain level is art and craft that you can do. You know? You'll not be there every day. You'll be feeling sad. You'll be praying to God because you lack knowledge. Do you understand? If you are generally going to go and do apprentice at carpenter shop, you will be richer than those that are going to university. Hallelujah. Are we together? Has knowledge. Wealth is not by school. Wealth is about skill. Do you get my point? If you can become the best carpenter in this Nigeria, you will be rich. If you become one of the best, you will be rich. You'll be rich. In fact, you will employ people that went to university to do accounting for you. When your business has grown, you will employ them. Either, okay, first class, I'll be, come on, do accounting for me. Do you understand my point? So you need to add knowledge. So the Holy Spirit has to, you know, and that's why God always try to make you read your Bible so that you can know what you are doing. Are we together? When you lack, you see, let me tell you something. If you don't get knowledge now, in 10 years' time, you're going to be giving testimony at NSPPD. Because your life will be so scattered that is great miracle. You see, your life does not need great miracle to be sweet. Are you hearing me? Your life can be smooth. It just be going from one level to the other, one level to the other. You don't need great miracle. Amen. Get knowledge, oh. Let the Holy Spirit give yourself sense. Go and meet people. What should I know? What should I read? Are we together? Let's go on. And knowledge, you don't get knowledge before virtue. Are we together? When you have knowledge and you don't have morality, you'll be a demon. Meaning you'll use your knowledge to sway people that are stupid. You know now, for instance, when Bilal does his thing, it's because many people are stupid. So many people cannot see that this guy is Yahoo boy. You know, many people don't know. Now, for instance, I mentioned another Yahoo boy earlier, Habi Forex. You know, some of you think I'm talking about a legitimate business person. That's a full-blown fraudster. But you don't know. You can't. Some people don't have sense. So what they will do is that you join Telegram group. You'll not be paying them money to teach you how to do Forex. People will use you. That's what I'm saying. And the reason why is because people have knowledge. People know how to manipulate other human beings. You know, it's the knowledge. How do you manipulate people? You get? No, Yahweh is jazz, though. You understand? No, Yahweh is jazz. People are stupid. No, Yahweh is jazz. If you know how to manipulate human beings, you will get... I saw one strange story. One Russian guy went to Ghana. He started getting girls to sleep with him. Or women, not even girls. Full-blown adult women. Because he has knowledge. You understand? Huh? Don't copy this thing. But if you want, if a guy wants to sleep with girls, it's just a matter of probability. If you go around on the street and say, I have 20,000 naira, will you sleep with me? 3 will slap you. 2 will pour water on you. But you will meet one girl that will say yes. That's how life is. If you are persistent, you will meet somebody. You get my point, right? That's the knowledge that some people have. So they are persistent. You know, many people are shocked. Now, how can you just meet a random girl on the streets and ask her? So that's what you use knowledge to do when you don't have values. Your knowledge will be destroying people. So knowledge, self-control. Everybody say self-control. You know, if you don't have self-control, I listen to me. It would be a bad thing for God to make you rich. Because you destroy yourself. Okay? You know, today I was thinking, there's this school of ministry thing we're doing. So we've been in church since 7, Seth, you know. We did like workers training and then we started the diaconal from 9. So I came out, before I came here, I came out, so we've been in class and everything. So I was tired and hungry. And then I went to get something to eat because I was hungry. And I bought only one scotch egg. And I bought the scotch egg, I ate it, and it was good. And I was eating that, and I was just thinking, I was like, Kai, this is how life is. You know, it's only one scotch egg you bought. You know. The only one scotch egg you bought. You could have bought 2 drinks, 3 meat pie, jollof rice and chicken. Yeah. But it's only one scotch egg you bought. And I was just thinking about it that, it is well. You know. You might not understand what I'm saying. You might not understand what I'm saying. It was one scotch egg. I was looking at myself. I was like, you know. If you lack self-control, you will have health issues before you are 50. You will have cancer of the liver. You know. And you will get it through the blessing that God bless you with. God will bless you with what? You will go and eat all the cows. And catch sickness. Are we together? Are we together? Are you hear what I'm saying? No matter how much you have been blessed, you should still be disciplined. Amen. Some of you here eat more than me. I'm not saying that as a flex, I'm just saying it. Some of you here eat more than me, but I have more money than you. Are we together? Some of you here eat more than me. Amen. Now, what this means is that you will be operating, when you have discipline, you operate at a high level. Let me move on because of time. And then after this, perseverance. Can we say together, perseverance? So you see how Peter is teaching this and it's systematic. Now, I'm saying it so that you will recognize when the Holy Spirit, for instance, tells you not to eat that extra meat. It's not wickedness. He's trying to build something in you. Has it happened to you before? Has it happened to you before? No. It has never happened to you before. And from today, it will start happening to you. You know, you just want to Or maybe you went for a party, they gave you 2 packs. They will not be nudging you. Give that guy. But you have already planned that these 2 packs of rice, I'm going to finish it at home. And you'll be forming. I'm not hearing this one. No. I've been dreaming about this thing since. No. Amen. The Holy Spirit is trying to build self-control in you. Hallelujah. And perseverance. Okay? Now, what is perseverance? Perseverance is a key virtue. You see? It is one of the things that beautifies your life. Patience. You can call it perseverance, you can call it patience. The ability to wait for something to happen. Are we together? The ability to wait for something to happen. Christians should be able to persevere. A Christian shouldn't be feeling sad that he's not yet rich. Do you know that most people become rich in their 40s? People act as if you are broke in 22, your life has finished. Your life has not finished. Are we together? Your life has not finished. If you are broke at 25, by 50, you can be a billionaire. You get my point? Your life has not finished. Look at Tinubu. You get my point? At 22, what was he doing? Some people will feel WAEC, they're going to commit suicide. Eh? You feel jump, you're going to commit suicide. Do you know what I'm saying? I'll call him president, but I'm not sure if he did WAEC. You get my point? So you can still be a great person in this country. At least there's obvious proof. Most of the people we call great in this Nigeria don't have jamb. Don't have work. MC Olomo does not have jamb. Abina. So life has not finished. But you see, when you lack perseverance, just small setback, Satan will just come and tell you your life has finished. You're a failure. You just start, again. You see 70-year-old saying cut soap. Bro, do you know that if you calm down, you are 17. If you calm down, you learn something, you can build wealth. As in, you get my point? But people say that if you're not rich now, everything has finished. No, it's lack of perseverance. You should be able to persevere. You can go through a tough time. You can go through a tough time. Your dad might be poor, your mom might be poor, and because of that, life is tough. Not even a little tough, very tough. Yes. It doesn't mean that that's going to be your future. You understand my point? All right? So God does not, and that's why, some of you might be surprised that it's like God has not answered your prayer quickly. Because, you see, you need to build character. Need to build character. From observation, most people that have dramatic testimonies, this kind of testimony that, let me not say that, you might not understand what I'm saying. But there are many people that God help us. You need perseverance, If you go through tough times. In fact, your youth self most likely is even... Except if the parents are very old, you see other universities, if university will test you. Those of us in university, they can attest to it. Again, there'll be tough times, but you need to learn how to be stable. Just be stable. You will fail sometimes. You understand? It's part of life. I remember one time in university, I had career over. Some of you can't believe it. Even myself, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I had to humble myself. And I still came out with a 2-1, even though I carry over. It's just because, that day I was very unserious. I was not this kind of subjects that I submit this thing now. I was very arrogant. So I didn't used to come for classes like that. The exam, I didn't really read like that. But that time, I just saw result F. I said, wow. I said, I've learned my lesson. I learned my lesson. And I came back with a vengeance. A serious vengeance. You understand? Because then in my life, if you hit me, I'll hit you back. Like any situation, if you hit me, I will use my whole blood and hit you back. So I came back with a vengeance. I got A in the second time. You know. If I carry over, I won't aim for let my people go. No. I said, the way you disgrace me is the way I will disgrace you. And so I'll come back hard. You get? When we went to Unilag, we didn't have money. So I entered Unilag through, back then it used to be called Diploma, but now it's JUPEB. Are you listening to me? No, I'll close with this. I entered Unilag through what is currently called JUPEB. So we didn't have money. It's relatively expensive. So we didn't have money. So as at first semester exam, I didn't even pay my school fees. I was registering on the day of exam. That's when I did my registration. That's when I paid, you know. And so when a couple of my friends, you know, they were talking to me about it, and I said, I didn't take those. So there was one exam, chemistry 101, I didn't take it. So they looked at me like, you know when your friends are pitying you, that, this guy be like, say, you know, so they had that look of pity. It's like, okay, but I was just doing innocent face and everything. So I missed that first paper. At the end of the whole exam and everything, you know, one of the same people that saw me, that was like giving me pity face, when he saw me, was like, Mocha man, did he try you? Because on that subject, I didn't even have results, it was just dash. But every other subject, it was A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B, B, A, B, B, A, you know, that kind of results, you know. Like, I know this time, they will paste result everywhere. And then me, I'll just go, you know, they used to treat me, after that thing, they started treating me like a god. You know, you pass without textbook. You know, because, you know, you need to be buying textbook. So me, I'll just be reading. You would think that the reason why I don't have textbook is that I'm so smart. No, it's because I don't have money. You get my point? I don't have money to buy textbook. So I'll just go to class, and then me, I'll sit at the back. So me, I never used to be kind of student that used to stay at the front. I don't like staying at the front in class. So after that whole experience, they started treating me like a god, thinking that I'm what kind of big guy like that. Not knowing that there's nothing, you know. There's no money. there's nothing. You get my point? In fact, I'll go to school, I won't eat, I'll come back. I'll be hungry in class, I'll endure the hunger, I'll still be listening. Do you get my point? You can go through tough periods. It's valid. It's not Satan doing you. You get my point? It's not Satan doing you. It's your life. So when you now stand as somebody now that has self-control, that has perseverance, when you look at somebody in the face and you say, I'm coming for this thing, you will stand as somebody that is just, Jesus, I love you, you know? Amen. So, the beauty of Christianity is that the things that you think are your disadvantages, if you allow the Holy Spirit work in you, that's the training ground for greatness. Do you understand? What you think, everything, if you look at your life now, your current disadvantage, you can read the rest, there are like two others or three others. The current disadvantage that you think you have, that is the ground that the Holy Spirit is using to work fruit in you. So why are Christians not solid? We don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. You want to run away. You get my point? Now you can understand why Nigerian Christians are crazy. Because we don't like our understanding of Christianity that Jesus should just leave us, let us not suffer anything. Why Jesus did not say that you will not suffer? But we don't want Jesus to, we want Jesus to just remove all the suffering. You know, soft life. That's our understanding of Christianity. But that's not what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, there's plenty of wahala in the world. But with me, I'm with you. Don't worry. But in this world, there's problem. Hallelujah.